Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I think I've always had the stance that, yes, I want to play here. I love the city. And it's so, I mean, the biggest thing with this whole, the trade rumors that has disappointed me is the fact that I feel like people, not everybody, but the main reasoning behind it is that let's get rid of him now because he doesn't want to be here in 2 years. He turned down this monster extension well north of $200 million. And I'm like, well, where was that? I never saw that. I mean, it's just these rumors and sources and people just saying things. And it's like, the only thing that matters is what comes from my mouth. And never once have I said I never wanted to play here.
Good morning. Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm hanging out here until 9 o'clock today. You just heard the voice of current Cub Chris Bryant. How much longer he will be a current Cub perhaps remains to be seen, but he spoke at length yesterday as he reported to camp in Arizona, and he got into pretty much everything under the sun, from his contract situation to trade rumors to the Houston Astros to Scott Boras to his grievance. He clowned on Bruce Levine a little bit. It was fantastic. And right now we're going to talk more Cubs and more Chris Bryant with Sean Sears. He hosts the Locked On Cubs podcast. You can also check out some of his stuff at FanSided at NBC Sports Chicago. Sean is a hard worker. He's everywhere. And now he joins us on the Al Pamani Ford hotline. Al Pamani Ford in Melrose Park. Good morning, Sean. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's going on, Kev? How you doing?
Doing great. Appreciate you getting up early here on a Sunday, on a holiday weekend, no less, to talk Cubs with me. Reminder, by the way, you can follow Sean on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. All right, let's start it off with Chris Bryant, because that is kind of the topic du jour regarding the Cubs right now. What was your main takeaway from the nearly 35-minute media session that KB had yesterday in Arizona?
Yeah, it was, like you said at the top of the show, he talked about everything.
It was great, right?
It was awesome, especially when he was going on off about the Astros. That was great, too. But I think the biggest thing was him talking about specifics, saying that hasn't come out, and that, you know, he hasn't talked with the Cubs about anything truly, I guess, drastic about an extent.
Oh, dear Lord. Sean has lost us. We're going to work to reconnect with Sean Sears here momentarily as his phone line just cut out. My Sean Anderson, the producer of the show, is vigorously dialing the phone right now to get him back up. It was interesting, and I know Sean Sears can't hear me what I'm saying right now, but the fact that Bryant was so candid yesterday about the speculation and the trade room, you usually don't hear that from players. They'll deflect, or they'll say, oh, I'm going to leave that to my agent, I'm going to leave that to the executives, you know, that's Theo and Jed's department. You know, a lot of times players will just kind of brush it off and they won't want to get into things. But Chris Bryant yesterday did not deflect. He did not brush anything off. He didn't say, you know, leave it to Scott Boras, leave it to Theo, leave it to Jed, anything like that. And to me, Sean, we've got you back now. That was very refreshing to me, not only from Bryant himself, who's not somebody who's really known as an outspoken guy, but really that was great for any pro athlete to be that candid and be that in detail about his contract situation.
Exactly. That was what really kind of threw me off was, I guess Chris has always kind of been a very direct guy and he doesn't hold back necessarily, but he's also, like he was talking about, you know, he isn't necessarily excited to talk to the media all the time. It's not his favorite thing to do. And he talked about, there was a quote, him saying, you know, like sometimes when you guys ask these questions, you know, there's not a ton of emotion behind it. And I think him going out there and saying, hey, you know, I haven't talked about anything specific with the Cubs. They haven't come to me with any real numbers. On top of that, yeah, I'd love to play for Chicago, but it didn't seem like the Cubs had made any type of realistic effort into trying to re-signing him. And that kind of, it just kind of rings true of what the rest of this offseason has looked like for the Cubs, where they, you know, said they're going to do one thing. You know, we talked about Javier Baez getting an extension forever ago, and that hasn't happened. And, you know, talking about trying to make massive changes roster, and that hasn't quite happened. Talking about how they've, you know, had conversations with all their major players about trying to get re-signed or start some type of extension, but I mean, they haven't gotten to figures yet. Like, obviously those conversations have gone nowhere. So I think that was the biggest takeaway for me, is that, hey, Chris Bryant wants to be here, but it doesn't sound like the Cubs are ready to play ball.
No, it does not seem like the Cubs are ready to play ball. And you bring up a great point there regarding Javier Baez, or you know, you can talk about Wilson Contreras, any of these young, you know, cornerstone players of the franchise. I'm not going to include Anthony Rizzo because he's a little bit older than these guys, just by a couple of years.
Yeah.
But I mean, hypothetically, let's say the Cubs want to trade Chris Bryant. It looks like they are actively trying to do that. They've not extended Javier Baez. They've not extended Wilson Contreras. If they're not going to pay these guys, who are they going to pay?
Right. That's kind of the question. And I can understand, obviously, like, it's much to keep your guys in your core together for as long as you can. You know, we've seen these guys together for 5 years now. This will be season five of this core kind of being the core. It's going to be tough to keep these guys. And I understand that. But, you know, if you lose all three of those guys, I don't know how you turn to the fan base and say, hey, we lost all these players on top of that. Like, you're paying for this new TV station that we initially couldn't figure out how you were going to watch on it. Like, there's so many layers to just things with this Cubs team. They've built up a lot of good faith. And I think the good faith will last for a while since bringing the World Series to the Cubs and whatnot. But I don't think there's ever been a fan base that turned on everyone they loved so much so quickly. It feels like it was instant from, you know, the moment they weren't as great after that World Series. It was like, hey, you know who's not good? Chris Bryant. Hey, you know who I don't like? Joe Maddon. You know, it's just like, what do you want from these people, guys? I don't know.
Yeah, it was like the ultimate, what have you done for me lately? You know, from 2016,
exactly.
Winning the World Series, on top of the world, all that. And then they, once again, the year after, get to the National League Championship Series, lose to the Dodgers. And I think ever since that point, all those years ago, you know, fan goodwill or whatever you want to call it has sort of kind of turned. The tide has certainly turned. And then with what happened at the end of 18, the one-game playoff and kind of the, I don't want to call it a collapse because the Brewers were just on a different planet in September of 18. But,
yeah,
you know, that season ended poorly. And 2019, obviously, was a disappointment. They didn't even make the playoffs. Where do you see this team going in 2020 as a collective? They were an 84-win team last year. They haven't really added anybody of any major substance. They lost Cole Hamels in the rotation. They potentially are going to lose Chris Bryant if he does indeed get traded. They've changed the manager. How is this team better than it was last year? Are they better? How do they put this team out there and call it contention?
Yeah, that's it. They're basically kind of leaning on a bunch of what ifs and hoping that some other surprises, especially in their bullpen, happen. I think like a lot of projection places have them at like 84 wins. I think Vegas has them at 83 or something like that. I'd say 88 to 90 is probably the top of this team. I think that's about, you know, assuming everything goes correctly. And with the way the NL Central's set up now, that could maybe win the division. But there's just so many things that you're worried about with this team. Like, you look at that bullpen and there's some young arms that you get excited about, but it's relatively unproven outside of Craig Kimbrel, who was really bad last year. You've got a ton of questions in the outfield. I mean, I guess particularly center field, you don't know if you can trust Albert Almora there. Ian Happ hasn't quite emerged, but had a pretty good second half to make you think he could do something. Kyle Schwarber, another guy, had an awesome second half, but you just don't know if you're going to get a second half Kyle Schwarber, or, you know, what if you get 2017 Kyle Schwarber, you know, like then you're in some trouble. So there's a lot of questions that are built off of these guys putting together a consistent season, and that just hasn't happened for the Cubs. Like, you look at their identity after winning that World Series, it's hard to pinpoint one thing they're really good at.
You know, like in 2016, it was the defense. They had some really good pitching performances. Their offense was really coming together with some great offensive young bats on top of veteran players. You now look at the team now, and it's like, well, Chris Bryant and Anthony Rizzo are pretty good hitters, but, like, they don't necessarily lead the league in any category. Javier Baez is exciting, but he's not – he's probably not a guy you can rely on being an MVP-type player every year. And that rotation is a giant question mark beyond Kyle Hendricks and Yu Darvish. And even those guys, it's like, you know, they were great last year, but there was definitely moments where Kyle Hendricks looked a little more human than inhuman.
Right.
So there's just a lot of question marks, and you're kind of band-aiding about this huge team and saying, well, hey, maybe this will work. Otherwise, you know, if it doesn't, I guess we sell at the deadline. It's probably the approach of the Cubs for 2020.
Yeah, certainly regarding Hendricks, and I'm glad you brought him up because I do want to talk to you about the pitching rotation. I've always been a big fan of Kyle Hendricks. I've kind of got a soft yeah. spot for soft throwing pitchers, you know, in that Maddox-y vein. And I like Kyle Hendricks a lot, but you're right. At certain times last year, he was a little bit more up and down than we're used to seeing from him. For me, he's still the best starter they have, but you mentioned Darvish in the second half last year. He was excellent. John Lester is not what he was, but he's still, you know, the veteran that's going to give you everything that he has. He holds a lot of respect as one of the leaders of the team. Who would you have as the opening day starter?
I think it's either Hendricks or Darvish. I would say Hendricks has probably earned it. He probably should have been the opening day starter last year, yeah. even the season before. But out of respect, obviously, they're going with Lester. But after the season he had, I would be surprised if they do that. Now, obviously, David Ross is the manager, and those two have a good relationship. I could see them doing, like, a sign of respect as, like, Lester's last probably season as a Cub, getting that open day start. But, I mean, if you're going best pitcher or the person that earned it, it's probably Kyle Hendricks. The guy's been great. He doesn't have any emotion other than just wanting to play baseball, and he's great to watch. He's definitely a pitcher that's been appointment viewing for the Cubs for a while now. So the guy deserves it. I would go with Hendricks.
Talking Cubs this morning with Sean Sears. He is on the Alpamonte Ford hotline. You can check out Alpamonte Ford in Melrose Park, and you can follow Sean on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. The Cubs haven't had a leadoff man since Dexter Fowler left and all those years ago. This feels like a conversation we've had so many times before.
Yeah, what year is it, man?
I know. Yeah, exactly. 2020, believe it or not. And here we are again. I don't believe in the idea of that kind of prototypical, speedy, you know, base-stealing leadoff man anymore. I think that's kind of a thing of the past. You know, you just want a guy who's going to get on base, really. And that was the idea behind Kyle Schwarber. He's got a great eye. He can hurt you, obviously, with his power. He can draw a walk, work a good at-bat. It didn't really work out. But teams nowadays, and not even just Joe Maddon, although he was one of the first people to do it down in Tampa with his unorthodox lineups and you know, thinking outside the box, who do you think should be leading off consistently? Do you think that anybody should have a consistent spot there in the leadoff spot, or would you be in favor of kind of rotation and things like that to start the lineup off?
Yeah, I think unless you find someone really hot or you're really going to just solidify Rizzo in that leadoff spot, even though he's been great, it doesn't quite make sense. I think you have to go by matchups at this point. There's no clear-cut leadoff guy. And you look at a lot of the teams, and there isn't too many teams that have that prototypical leadoff guy anymore. Yeah. He doesn't really exist in baseball because teams don't steal bases as much. Speed is important, but it's more important in terms of, like, first to third or how fast you can run from yeah. the, you know, the wall to center field. So, like, there's no one that really fits that mold, but I know they've talked about Nico Horner being there, and I know we didn't quite see it last year, but he's got great hand-eye coordination. He's a really good bat-to-ball guy, and he was a really good contact hitter in Stanford. And that kind of translated into some power a little bit, but I don't think we're going to see Horner hit 10, 15 home runs. But in that leadoff spot, that could make sense. I've always liked Chris Bryant there, to be perfectly honest. He did in college, and he still not only was one of the best leadoff hitters in college baseball, but he led the nation home runs like 2 years in a row, Silver Spikes winner. Like, it makes sense. And he's a guy that I think his approach changes no matter where he really is in that lineup. I guess you don't necessarily want your best hitter leading off, but I think if you had to go with someone and roll with him for a moment, well, Chris Bryant, I mean, makes the most sense. I think if you're trying to find a guy that's going to see pitches, that's going to be patient and can punish pitches when he gets them, like that's the guy you want there. So that'd be my pick, but I think it's going to be kind of a rolodex of who's hot, who hits well in this matchup, who's walked a bunch, that type of thing.
Do you think Nico Hoerner opens the season as the Cubs second baseman? Because from what we saw last year, I mean, promising, good sample size, albeit pretty small. They kind of rushed him up through the minor league system, and they needed somebody there. They needed a spark. They needed something, and he performed pretty well. But you never know how the league will adjust to him as a very young player, and there's always right. that sophomore slump potentially. But do you think he opens up the season on the major league roster starting at second?
I mean, if he doesn't, the Cubs are in trouble. I don't think they signed Jason Kitmas, who's a Northbrook great, in case you didn't know.
Oh, yeah. Heard that a few times.
Yeah, just a few, right? Oh, my gosh. But, yeah, I mean, they don't have anyone there at second base that really should challenge Hoerner. I think they're going to give him a shot to really win it out. And I think what we saw last year, obviously super promising. His numbers started to go down. The strikeouts started to pile up a little bit towards the end of that season. I think teams were adjusting to him a little bit. But from what I heard, it sounded like the Cubs wanted him to just kind of attack pitches outside of, like, working counts. Mm-hmm. They just wanted him to, I guess, like, keep that sample size small so people wouldn't start picking him apart next year a little bit, which is, like, a weird approach, I think. But if Hoerner doesn't win out second base, it's probably because he had a bad spring. That's the only reason I think he wouldn't make this team at this point. If he shows out and plays like he did last year at least, or even adds to it, I think he should have no problem beating out Descalso, Kipnis, Bodie, Robel Garcia, guys that probably won't be starters.
No, I don't think we're ever going to see Robel Garcia ever again, quite frankly. Sean, thanks so much for getting up this morning and talking a little baseball with me. I really appreciate it, man.
Yeah, no problem, Kev. Appreciate you having me on.
No problem. That is Sean Sears. You can follow him on Twitter at Sean R. Sears. I mentioned he hosts the Locked On Cubs podcast, and also you can check out some of his stuff at FanSided and at NBC Sports Chicago. My name is Kevin Zipak. This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their new website, 56David.com. That is 56David.com. We are open. We're free and clear for the rest of the program. I'm here until 9 o'clock, and I want to talk to you. Not necessarily about the rules and the scoring and the dunk contest, mostly about baseball. There's some White Sox stuff I want to get into a little bit later, but I still have a couple more thoughts on Chris Bryant and the Cubs in general coming up next. 312-644-6767 is the phone number if you would like to join in on the conversation. I'd really appreciate it if you'd like to do something like that, particularly in regard to Bryant and some of the trade rumors and kind of where the Cubs are going into this 2020 season. As I was just talking to Sean about it, this is an 84-win team from last year. They finished in third place in their division. They haven't really made any major additions to speak of, and they're potentially going to be trading their best player in Chris Bryant. How can this team reasonably look you in the eye and charge you an unholy amount of money for a ticket and a beer and a hot dog while Tom Ricketts buys another yacht and tells you that they're competing? How can they do that? 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. My name's Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 this morning on 670 The Score.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Chris, do you feel like the two refs were trying to win this offseason?
Well, we didn't do much. But I guess I saw some quotes the other day about what Theo had said about this year and how where we're at in the tax, and you know, he saw this coming and stuff like that. And I don't know. I don't I mean, I like the group we definitely have. I think we have a ton of talent, a lot of really good players that I guess underperformed last year as a team. And looking forward to this year, I think, of course, it would have been nice to add people, but I don't know who we would have added to make it better. But I believe in this team that we have, and I think you really need to show what we have.
Welcome back on into 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. My name is Kevin Zipak. I'm here until 9 o'clock this morning. On the way in there, you heard the voice of Chris Bryant. He was asked, do you think the Cubs are trying to win a World Series with what they've done or what they haven't done here in the offseason leading up to this 2020 campaign? And his response was very interesting to me. A lot of deep thought, I guess you could say, a lot of silence speaking volumes, and him flat out saying, well, we didn't do much, but a lot of players did underperform last year. And I think that's fair. They didn't do much. They're bringing back essentially the same 84 win team that they had last year. But you can possibly, you know, you can never say, you know, this guy's going to get healthy or this guy's going to be hurt or this guy's going to miss games. You can never really predict anything like that. But I think you can expect a guy like Chris Bryant, whether it's in Chicago or elsewhere, to have whether it's a better season or, you know, what we've seen from him in the past in 2020. I don't know if all this speculation and trade talk and whatever is going to motivate him or anything like that. It's just from where I'm sitting right now, and I know that some prognosticators still like the Cubs a lot for 2020. I know the Pecota projections that came out recently have the Cubs at about 85 wins right now and in a wild card spot. So that could be encouraging if you put stock into that. Although Pecota hated the Cubs last year and they barely exceeded their expectations. So if they exceed their expectation once again this year, I think you can count on them as a playoff team. But for me, from where I'm sitting right now, even with a lot of talented players on offense, and they still have a ton, you know, not a lot of teams have a Chris Bryant, an Anthony Rizzo, a Javi Baez, a Wilson Contreras, a Kyle Schwarber, you know, these kind of dangerous hitters all in the middle or at the top of the order. That's not something that's really a common commodity, and the Cubs are still very lucky in that regard. But I'm not that big on the rotation. I don't think that John Lester is going to be very effective this year. I think that Yu Darvish has been so up and down, not only, you know, just the couple of years here in Chicago, but, you know, overall in his career with missing time and some arm issues and everything else. When he's at his best, Yu Darvish is absolutely filthy, and he's absolutely unhittable, borderline unhittable at times. But I think he is a little bit of a wild card. Jose Quintana, I think, is good. I think a lot of Cub fans don't like Jose Quintana because of the price that was given up to acquire him. Dylan Cease and Eloy Jimenez, who are very promising young players, are now residing on the south side of Chicago. But Quintana's just, you know, he's kind of a middle of the rotation guy. And you've got Tyler Chatwood, fifth in the rotation, who has obviously been a massive disappointment since he came over here from Colorado in free agency. So I really like Kyle Hendricks, as I said earlier. I mean, you'd put him in any rotation near the top of it in Major League Baseball, and you're going to be able to rely on him more often than not. But I don't think 1 through 5 that this screams to me playoff achieving starting rotation. 312-644-6767. Let's go out to Kenosha, and we'll bring in Matt, who's been waiting patiently. Good morning, Matt. What's up?
Hey, Kevin. How you doing? I'm a big Cubs fan, and like everyone else, I think I'm just as disappointed at the lack of trying to get new talent on the team. But as a Cubs fan, is there a tell that they're going to be buyers or sellers as we're getting closer to the All-Star break? I know it's far away, but are the Ricketts going to open the pocketbook? Is there a way for a fan to be able to see which direction they're going to go? And I'm really looking for Chatwood to have a career year this year. I think he's going to – we got a lot of 2 and 3s pitching, but we need a number 1.
Yeah, absolutely. And I appreciate the call, Matt. Thank you for checking in from Kenosha this morning. And I think it's a couple of good questions that you've served up there. One, I can answer fairly confidently, will the Ricketts open up the checkbook for this season? I think if they were going to do that, they probably already would have done it. There were a lot of really good free agents out there this past year that could have helped the Cubs. And even a guy like Nick Castellanos, who was only here for, a month and a half, 2 months, whatever it was after they acquired him from the Tigers last year. And he was spectacular. I don't envision him doing that over 162 games, but I think Nick Castellanos is a really good hitter. And I think he could have, as we saw last year, could have had a very big effect on this offense and lengthened the lineup. I don't think that Jason Hayward or Albert Almora or Ian Happ or whomever is replacing Castellanos in the lineup every day is going to be able to provide the kind of offensive threat that Castellanos would have. So I think that's obviously going to be a downgrade there. In regards to whether there'll be buyers or sellers at the trade deadline, you know, that one definitely remains to be seen. Usually, I would say after about, 2 months, maybe 2.5 months, you kind of know what you have more or less with a baseball team. I think that's a big enough sample size throughout the course of 162 games that you kind of know what you have. There are always going to be exceptions, and we've seen teams before struggle for half a season or for 4 months of a season extendedly. And really not be able to get out of first gear and then turn it on and have a huge stretch and really come on in August or September. And it's happened before, but that's usually the exception and not the rule. I think by and large, you know what you have by the middle or the end of June. And I think that's when you're going to really, really get interesting and see some interesting things with Theo Epstein and what he wants to do with this team. Obviously, he has been restricted in free agency due to the Cubs being near or above or wanting to be under the luxury tax, which, by the way, again, I have to reiterate, is a tax. It is not a hard salary cap. You're allowed to go over it if you want. And they did last year, in fairness. You know, I criticize the Ricketts family, or Tom Ricketts in particular, because he's kind of the face of the Cubs ownership, and I do criticize him a lot, and I think a lot of that criticism is fair, but I do have to also say that he did spend a lot of money before. The Cubs have had a big payroll for the past couple of years, and you can also point some fingers at Theo Epstein, if you want, for giving these massive contracts out to underperforming players like Jason Hayward, like Tyler Chatwood, for the most part, like Yu Darvish, who I know in the second half of last year, like I was talking to Sean Sears about earlier in the program, Yu Darvish in the second half last year was great. He was spectacular. He was ace quality. He was what Theo Epstein envisioned, I'm sure, when he gave him that 6-year deal. But that was, 13 starts? And I'm not going to be completely swayed over 13 starts on Yu Darvish. He's going to have to put together a whole season. You know, he's going to have to start 30 to 35 games and be close to, 180, 190 innings pitched on the season before I really buy into him as being worth that contract. I think from where we sit right now, you still have to call that maybe a deal that they should not have made. Maybe money that could have been spent better elsewhere. 312-644-6767 is the phone number here. 67011 is how you send a text message. And by the way, the text line is brought to you by Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. So you can send a text at 67011, and you can tweet me as well at Kevbo_. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. The Chicago Wolves host the Cleveland Monsters at 3 p.m. today. It's a Little Debbie Sunday, which features a GameWorks gift card giveaway for the first 1,000 kids and post-game autographs for everyone. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. We'll continue any baseball chatter you choose to want to talk about, whether it's regarding the Cubs or the White Sox. And I do want to get into some White Sox stuff a little bit coming up here, as I alluded to a little bit earlier. Tim Anderson is in Arizona. Yoan Moncada is in Arizona. It's nice to see some of the guys getting out there and getting ready for the upcoming season, especially guys like Anderson and Moncada, who are both coming off career years where you saw Tim Anderson win a batting title, kind of really come into his own as a star in this league. I think Tim Anderson is the face of this franchise. All due respect to Jose Abreu, who's been here for a long time and is as respected in that clubhouse and around Major League Baseball as anybody, but I don't think that he carries that same sort of star quality and the charisma of a guy like Tim Anderson. But, you know, to see Anderson and Moncada get to camp earlier than they needed to, even though they are both coming off great years respectively, they want to get to work, they want to get better, it's very encouraging. And Tim Anderson had some good thoughts and some interesting things to say regarding the outlook of the 2020 season. We'll get to that here in a little bit. 312-644-6767, once again, is the phone number. 67011 is how you check in on the text line. Peoria Matt says, I guess everyone has forgotten about Steven Souza Jr. That's a good point. Another fantastic signing here in a busy offseason for the Cubs. My name's Kevin Zipak. I am here until 9 o'clock this morning on 670 The Score.
2-2. That ball's hit well. Deep to left field for Tim Anderson, and look out, waterfall. 1-0 Sox.
You stay aggressive at the plate, obviously.
Yeah, why not? That got me the batting title. So why not? I ain't going to change nothing.
Welcome back on in. It's 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. I know if you could tell I was stretching there when we came back from the break. Could you tell that I was stretching as I spoke? Did I sound different?
Did you tell that I put the wrong pot down and tried to lower the hot keys that wasn't playing anything? And
no,
did not get any lower?
I didn't notice. I don't bust toss producers. Well, I try not to. Sometimes I do just instinctively because I like to bust toss everybody. But I try not to because it's generally a thankless job. And the worst part about being the board op and the producer, and Sean Anderson is my producer this morning, the worst part about your job is that you have to look at me for 2 hours. And sometimes we make like incidental eye contact.
Yeah, that's a little weird, but I also have a computer that I just kind of zone you out in.
Yeah, that's cool. You're sporkling over there.
Twitter, but yeah.
God knows what else.
There's this big giant window and I'm just trying to avoid it.
Okay, excellent. Let's avoid that if we can entirely. On the way in there, you heard Tim Anderson, one of his home runs, a highlight from last season in which he won the batting title. And then you heard the voice of Tim Anderson as well. He wants to maintain the same approach, and he's right. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. I want to get into a lot of White Sox stuff, and we're going to go out to Ron on the South Side shortly. One of my favorite callers here to the station, big Sox fan. But I want to address a few text messages on the Cubs that have been rolling in. Of course, you can send us a text here on the Rosen Hyundai of Algonquin text line. Save time, shop online at rosenhyundai.com. 815 texter, a little bit more optimistic on the starting pitching on the north side. Darvish has figured it out, will be a true number one. Hendricks is an excellent number two. Lester has one more year left in him, perfect for a three. Chet Wolf has improved immensely. I love that typo right there. Obviously it means Tyler Chatwood, but Chet Wolf, I think, is just lovely. And he and Quintana can fill out the number four and five better than most teams. I don't agree with you entirely, but I totally get that line of thinking. I think if everything hits right for the Cubs and they do stay healthy and you're able to squeeze that one good last year out of John Lester, and Quintana and Chet Wolf are good at the back end of the rotation, and Darvish is an ace, you know, you can rely on Hendricks, of course. It's possible that the Cubs could have a really good starting rotation, but I think you're hoping too much. You're trying to rely on too many things going right. Throughout the course of a baseball season, not everything is going to go right. In fact, a lot of things are going to go wrong. Guys will get hurt. Guys will regress. Guys will kind of be a little bit inconsistent. Even a guy like Kyle Hendricks, who I cannot praise enough, last year from start to start didn't show you that kind of consistency that you'd like to see from him and that you have seen from him in the past. In fact, I'm a huge Kyle Hendricks fan, but last year, not his best season. I think he could come back and be spectacular again in 2020. He's got that capability, but that's just kind of the bigger point that I'm making. You never know. Even when a guy has a great track record and you think that you know what you have, you never really know what you have. And especially in baseball, especially with starting pitching, not only starting pitching, the bullpen as well. Look at Craig Kimbrel last year. Is he going to be as bad as he was in 2019 and 2020? Probably not. I think it would be nearly impossible to be as horrid as he was again last year. But outside of Brad Wick and Rowan Wick as well and Kyle Ryan, who are guys that I like at the back end of the Cubs bullpen, there's not a ton of depth there. And, of course, bullpens are weird, and you can hit on guys randomly and they can come out of nowhere, but there are just too many ifs, too much speculation about the Cubs, too many things that have to go right, I think, for me anyway, to confidently call them a contender in what's going to be a really deep and a really tough National League Central. Where's this other text here? 708. This is the one I wanted to address here before we get to Ron. Everybody forgets Javi Baez missed the entire month of September. What would have happened if he hadn't? Listen, every team has injuries, all right? Christian Yelich was the MVP of the league, and he missed the entire month of September, and the Brewers still finished 5 games ahead of the Cubs. So don't give me the Javi Baez was injured injury excuse. Javi wasn't even that good last year anyway. What do you have, like a 315 on base? He is so one-dimensional at the plate. And I love Javi. Watching him play, he's super exciting. He's a great shortstop. He does things that no other human being can do. And every time you watch him, it's big box office, and he might do something you've never seen at any given time. But I like him more as a intangible guy or a base runner or a defensive player. At the plate, I don't love Javi Baez. I wouldn't give him a huge extension. I would rather extend Contreras or Bryant if that is the case. Anyway, I digress. We're going to talk White Sox now. I want to talk about Tim Anderson. We're going to play a little bit more Tim Anderson sound coming up. But first, let's get to Ron on the south side of Chicago. Good morning, Ron. What's up?
Hey, good morning, Kevin. Really enjoyed your show, and particularly get a chance to talk White Sox. Tim Anderson, he said if it's not broke, you don't have to fix it. Well, the defense. And I think so that has to be fixed. And particularly, Kevin, one of the questions with the White Sox is, yes, the uncertainty about the pitching, but also the defense. There's going to be a new second baseman eventually. And he played the most important defensive position at shortstop. So I think also you got, ground ball pitcher. Dallas Keuchel, they're going to be a lot. So that's it regarding defense. Also, last point, Kevin, I was reading some comments from Yoan Moncada, who really came out and said that he does not want to lead off. And I know it's been speculated it would have to be between him and Tim Anderson. So Tim Anderson may be batting leadoff also. So, again, I think with all the new players coming in and returning Tim Anderson, I tell you, it's going to be a lot focused on Tim Anderson. So that's it. Have a good day, Kevin.
I appreciate you checking in. Thank you very much, Ron. You have a great Sunday as well. Where to start with that? Well, first, you talked about the defense, and I think that's a great point. With all the optimism for 2020 for the White Sox, and I have a lot of it as well, I'm really excited to be out there. I'm already, planning on going out to opening day. It's going to be cold, but whatever. It's going to be fun. I love baseball, and I want to be back out there as soon as possible. But the defense is something I think, obviously not you, Ron, because you brought it up, but I think a lot of people are kind of grazing over the fact that this was not a very good team defensively last year. Tim Anderson committed a lot of errors. I know he's a relatively young player, and he's got great range, statistically, if you delve into the deeper analytics and some of the computer run numbers regarding Tim Anderson, he actually kind of checks out his average. He's not a terrible butcher at shortstop. The reason that you see Tim Anderson and most major league shortstops commit more errors than any other position is because they've got the ball more than anybody else. I mean, the majority of the time on a ground ball in the infield is going to be fielded by the shortstop. So there's more opportunities to commit errors, so you're going to see that particular stat go up. But in terms of Anderson, who, like I said, is about league average, Moncada is decent at third. Abreu is not a good first baseman. We really don't know who's going to be at second base, whether it'll be Leury Garcia or Danny Mendick, or hopefully it's Nick Madrigal if he gets a fair shot at the job coming out of spring training. If he's able to open up the season as the starting second baseman, I think he would instantly, right off the bat, be the best defensive player in that infield. I don't know if that's too much pressure to put on him to kind of carry the infield defense as a second baseman and as a rookie, but I do think that the infield defense in particular, and the outfield defense too, hell, if you want to go one step further, I mean, Eloy last year, as much as everybody loves him and loves his bat, and I do too, don't get me wrong, he's not a great outfielder. Yet. Hopefully there'll be more layers to that and he'll improve. He's been working hard on it. He's he's a smart kid. He's cognizant of his own abilities and what he does well and what he does not do well. And I'm sure they're going to work as hard as they can to get him up to being at least an average outfielder. But, you know, I'm skeptical about that. Nomar Mazara, who's penciled in right field, is not a good defensive outfielder. He's got a strong arm, but he's kind of a statue out there. I don't have a ton of faith in him. And then you've got Luis Robert in center, who we've all heard is going to be spectacular and cover a lot of ground and be great defensively. But I guess that remains to be seen. We haven't seen him, you know, play one major league inning. So I think the defense does have to improve. Absolutely. Individual players have to get better. Collectively, they have to be better. They have to be smarter because guys like Dallas Keuchel, guys like Ronaldo Lopez, you know, they are going to put the ball in play, essentially. You know, they're not big strikeout guys. And there will be a lot of chances created for the defense. This segment, by the way, is brought to you by Subway. Subway restaurants feature a different 6-inch sub for $3.79 every day. Great food at a great price at participating restaurants. Additional charge for extras plus applicable tax. No additional discounts or coupons may be applied. Now, another... Were you going to say something? I thought you just put your finger up at me.
No, I didn't. You're seeing things this okay. Early in the morning.
Yeah, I didn't sleep much yesterday. That dunk contest had me all ticked off, me and Alan.
Just like Alan pissed off about a dunk
contest. So mad about the rules. Another White Sox topic here regarding the leadoff spot. And this is funny that we have this conversation now on both sides of town, who's going to be the leadoff man. I don't love the idea of Tim Anderson leading off. You know, he's probably not. Let's be realistic here. He's probably not going to hit 335 again. And he only walked 15 times last year. That's quite poor in terms of getting on via a base on balls. You don't really want that from your leadoff man. So I don't like the idea of Tim Anderson leading off. If Moncada doesn't feel comfortable or he doesn't like leading off, you know, you don't want him there either. And he's probably their best hitter. So you'd probably want him hitting second or third anyway when you potentially have a guy on base. And this has been a topic and an idea that was broached a couple of times, is having Yasmani Grandal lead off for the White Sox. And it's a little outside the box. It's a little unorthodox because he is, you know, slower than molasses in February. But, you know, he probably will work a better at bat than anybody else in that lineup on any given day. He is going to be somebody who absolutely will get on base a lot via a base on ball. He's a dangerous hitter. Pitchers aren't going to want to attack him because he's got, you know, 25 to 30 home run per year power. I don't hate the idea of having Yasmani Grandal lead off. I think it's definitely something that they're going to experiment with, and it's going to be a tough job for Ricky Renteria to try to get this thing right lineup-wise in terms of how 1 through 9 you're putting these guys out there every day. And I'm assuming Madrigal, you know, if he doesn't come up right out of camp with the team, he'll probably be here if things go well for him. June, probably at the latest, you know, middle of June, whenever it is. I don't know if they're going to manipulate his service time or anything like that. I don't think they really need to. And I think with the moves that they've made in the offseason, it kind of seems like they're done with, you know, the service time manipulation, you know, giving Luis Robert that big contract and hopefully giving Madrigal a fair shot at the job out of spring training. So even Nick Madrigal, potentially, down the line, when he's up here, when he's in Chicago, could be a option at the leadoff spot. But it's definitely something to keep an eye on, because there's not one answer. And 312, texter, 847, texter, a couple people checking in here. It's Louis Robert. Louis Robert should be leading off. No decision to be made. I wouldn't hate it. That would be very exciting to have this guy starting opening day as the starting center fielder and the leadoff man. That would be fantastic. He is an option as well. This smooth jazz music apparently means that my time is up for the day. I'd like to thank everybody for calling, texting, tweeting, and of course listening. You could have been anywhere else in the world, but you were here with me, and I appreciate that. Thank you to my producer, Sean Anderson. Thank you to Sean Sears, who joined me at the top of the hour to talk some Cubs. And that is about it. Everybody stay tuned for Hub Arkish and Anthony Heron. I see them out there patiently waiting in the hallway. My name's Kevin Cepak. I think I'm back next Sunday. You never know. But until then, I will talk to you very soon. Thanks, everybody, once again.
Oh, gosh. You know, I'm not much on speeches, but it's so gratifying to leave you wallowing in the mess you've made. You're screwed. Thank you. Bye.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.